Now, cosmetic surgery is big business and often works from private clinics. A recent NCPOD committee looked into those institutions and have published their report this week. Sasha Komutovic reports.
This week, an NCPOD report into cosmetic surgery was published. It found that more than half of cosmetic surgery providers don't have all the equipment needed to deliver surgery safely, and that nearly one in five don't have a policy to readmit patients who have had complications. Another problem highlighted in the document is the lack of compliance in reporting. The full details of the report can be found on the NCPOD website, and we've covered the details of the report in this week's BMJ. But to talk about some of the problems and potential regulatory solutions, I'm joined on the phone by Alex Goodwin, the clinical coordinator of the report and a consultant in anaesthesia at Royal United Hospital in Bath. Hi, Dr. Goodwin.
Good morning.
Can you tell us something about how many organisations actually contributed to the audit? Because I think the Royal College of Surgeons was quite alarmed by the fact that it was fewer than half of the organisations that you contacted actually filled in the questionnaire.
Absolutely. If I start at the beginning, we identified through a trawl of things like Yellow Pages and the internet all organisations that advertise and claim to provide cosmetic surgery. So we sent out 1,093 questionnaires. We then looked at how many of those were eligible, because there was a crossover between what one might call the injectable cosmetic surgery procedures as opposed to cosmetic surgery which involves a more invasive procedure, and it was the invasive procedures we were looking at, and found that we had 760 eligible sites to complete the questionnaires. So of the 760, we had a return rate of 361, which was 47.5%. Now, if we look at that group a little closer, within the hospitals that have NCPOD reporters, so come under our normal area of influence, as you might say, we got a nearly 90% return. However, it was in the organizations outside our normal sphere of influence, and you might say these are those independent providers in large cities, we got a much lower response, nearer the sort of 20% response. So, yes, that was disturbing. And the main reason for that was that under the licensing terms of the Care Quality Commission, the CQC, these organizations are required to participate in national audit, and they didn't.
What can be done about those who don't contribute to an audit? Is there any method to deal with them?
Well, the CQC, sadly, its teeth aren't very sharp. Although yesterday, following the publishing our report, we have found that the CQC have come out and said, following October the 1st, they will have greater powers to fine individuals particularly who do not adhere to their very rigorous, and quite right so, standards.
Right, and in your opinion, is a fine enough?
Well, I have to say, my concern is about patient outcome and care and well-being, and I can't see how just a fine is going to affect that. Probably, I think there should be harsher punishments to the extent of shutting places down.
Yeah, I think that's what the Royal College was saying as well, weren't they, that if organisations aren't going to contribute to an audit, that they shouldn't be practising.
Yes, that's a very harsh opinion, but in my personal opinion, that's right.
And are there some changes you'd like to see to advertising of these kind of services?
Yeah, we looked very briefly at advertisements, and we looked at all the cosmetic surgery advertisements we could find in published media, so magazines, newspapers, and we found that undoubtedly some providers go outside the guidelines laid down by the Advertising Standards Agency. They advertise prices, they use models as opposed to patients in their pictures. And when you think that they are aiming at a very vulnerable group of patients, I think this is unacceptable.
So apart from the CQC toughening up its measures, is there anything else you'd like to see? Does there need to be a change in the law to bring cosmetic surgery clinics under the law rather than this kind of voluntary code, really?
At the end of the day, it requires government and statute to regulate cosmetic surgery. You know, in the same way that surgery in the National Health Service is regulated. But I was delighted yesterday to hear that the Royal College of Surgeons have set up a working party to set out a sort of kite marking system whereby cosmetic surgeons can apply for and hopefully gain this kite mark.
Should the GMC have a role here?
That might be one way forward. You know, should the GMC, should there be a proper cosmetic surgery specialty in the way that you have a general surgery specialty or an anaesthetic specialty or a paediatric specialty? You know, should there be a cosmetic specialty?
Dr. Goodwin, thanks very much for joining us today.